You're supposed to go 35 minutes or 2 hours.
All right, we can do. Let's do quick blast of what else we got to talk about. I haven't seen Shazam, so I can't comment on it.
All right, so me and Carl will do that. Like, it is just really not as sexy after you've seen Endgame.
I literally saw it after Endgame. I literally came home from Endgame and streamed Shazam.
Yeah, that's a mistake.
And I was just like, oof.
That's a mistake.
It's just a little too, gosh darn golly.
Yeah, seriously, that's a mistake, man. Also a long movie, though, but not nearly the amount of impact. And the thing is, I like Shazam. I thought Shazam was fun. Yeah, I thought it was good for the family. I took my kids to see it. It was good. It was fun. But after I saw Endgame, I don't give a fuck about Shazam.
I'd still give it like a 7.5.
Oh, yeah, without question. Without question.
My favorite scene is the last 10 seconds of the movie. I'm not going to say what it is. Because there's a whole build up there with the kids collectible and everything, and then it gets lost and all that happy stuff. So it was a nice wrap up.
So we're not going to spoil Shazam yet. All right, so y'all know what that means. Like, if a movie has been out for like 2 months and we don't spoil it, So yeah, Shazam is not it's not my ministry. Comparatively, it's a good film. Your boy Zachary Levi did a great job as the Big Red Cheese. The kid Asher something or other. He actually did a great job too. It was a very cute movie. It was a good film.
And I did not know, I did not realize until it actually happened that they bring the whole Marvel family into this, which I really enjoyed.
Yeah, yep, which I thought was great. And no, I really like Mark Strong a lot.
We're talking about the Captain Marvel family. So don't
yeah, Captain that. Marvel, yeah.
Because Shazam is Captain Marvel.
Now, well, Shazam's actual name is Captain Marvel.
If you really want to see some freaky deaky shit, find the black and white serials from the 50s of Captain Marvel. That motherfucker kills everybody.
Well, he's a kid with the powers of Superman.
I mean, in the black and white serial, he just walks up and grabs people and like throws them off bridges and throws them off rooftops.
I love it.
I'm just going to pick him.
That's great.
Off this building.
I love it. Yeah, there's a sense of that almost to some extent here. They do a really nice job with setting up the family, the whole deal. Like, it's a good film. I would recommend Shazam.
I'm not a huge fan of the character. I've never been a big fan of Shazam as a character. So that's one of the reasons why I didn't rush out to go see it.
I'm kind
of
ambivalent on the character, so it didn't matter to me, but continue.
That's one of the reasons why I haven't been excited to go see it. So I'll see it eventually.
It would have been nice to hear Tony's view on this, but he couldn't make it because I know he is a definite fan of the Shazam.
Well, he was hoping, he really wanted to see Black Adam.
Yeah, he's a much more Black Adam fan. Mm-hmm. So maybe we'll wait for that. He can talk to that a little bit. You said you gave it 7.5, Carl?
Yep.
All right.
It's still enjoyable. It was fun. It had decent effects.
Yeah, exactly. Even though he did have a padded muscle suit. Mm-hmm.
Did you guys like it better than Aquaman?
No.
No, I don't think so. Yeah. I don't think so. I think Aquaman's more fun in a different way. You know, like, I think Aquaman is akin to Thor Ragnarok. Like, it's a rock and roll film. Mm-hmm. So to speak, I think some of the set pieces in Aquaman take too long. The time they're in Morocco, like running through the rooftops and all that kind of shit, that takes way too long.
Oh, the Go-Go Power Ranger fight scene.
Yeah, exactly. And then underwater scenes aren't like, they look good in mass or in large scale, but when you kind of drill down, I don't love it. Aquaman's cool, though.
Yeah, I like Aquaman.
It's a good film. Yeah, like go see it. It's fine. Okay. Carl, you saw the latest Hellboy film, though, right?
Yes, I did. I'm a huge Hellboy fan. I have Hellboy's first appearance in my collection, which was actually in John Byrne's Next Men.
Yeah, that's a good issue there.
Including, and I also have, I can't even tell you how many actual comic issues, and I have the entire hardcover library edition.
Have you ever met Mignola?
No, I have not.
I saw him at I was at a con working it with an artist friend of mine, and he was sitting at a table with no one was around him. He was just sitting at a table by himself. And I went and bought the quickest Hellboy thing I could buy. I bought the first trade at a table a row over, and I had him sign it. He signed it for free. Mm-hmm. And I met him and talked to him for a little bit. And I had the comics at home. I just didn't bring any with him. I think we were in New Orleans. So, but he was there just by himself, and nobody was talking to him, and nobody was around him at all. So I thought that was kind of cool. Yeah.
Now, with this new Hellboy movie, everyone is giving it total, crap reviews, which I don't personally believe is merited. It is, how can I put this? They tried to go more comic than the Perlman movies. And by doing that, they took a lot of different storylines and tried to jam them all into one movie. So it's a bit rushed in some parts. It's still enjoyable. The dude from Stranger Things does a decent job as Hellboy. The physical effects are good. Some of the CGI is very bad. Some is good. When they use CGI for huge, gigantic creatures and monsters, it looks absolutely fine. It's when they try to put CGI on actual actors where it gets a little cheeseball. Looking very dated from like stuff that would have happened like 20 years ago. But it's still a decent movie. It's a good popcorn flick. And even though I gave Shazam a 7.5, I would probably give this Hellboy a 6.5. Is it an army? No, but it's still enjoyable. It's still a monster flick. And there's a lot more blood and gore than in the original two films. They do leave it wide open for more. I don't know if that's going to happen because from what I understand, it didn't even make its money back.
Yikes. This was on my short list of movies I was really looking forward to this year. And because of the reviews, I didn't rush out to go see it. I still want to. I'd rather see this than Shazam. I would. It was budget 50 mil. It's currently sitting at 40.
That's with overseas?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're not going to see another one.
No, they should have just let Del Toro make his third one.
Yeah, from what I understand, they didn't want to give him the money because he wanted, you said they made this for 50. I think Del Toro wanted over 100 to make the third one.
Well, let's see. What did Hellboy 2 do? Hellboy 2 was filmed for 85 and it made 160.
Yeah.
You're right. It wouldn't have.
I think Hellboy 1 was like made for 35 or 40 and it made 70 or 80.
Let's see. Hellboy 1 budget was 66 and it made 99. So yeah, if he wanted 100, they were never going to give him that. Mm-hmm. That's a shame. I mean, I like Hellboy 2. The first two movies are good.
Oh. My kids love them. My son is actually going to be Ron Perlman Hellboy for Kineticon in July here in Connecticut.
Oh, that's cool.
I am actually going to try to sculpt him a pullover latex mask. I'm going to pull a life cast of his face so it'll fit him perfectly.
Oh, nice. I'm going to try to that'll look sharp.
I'm going to try to sculpt up a...
The hand?
No, I'm just going to buy the hand.
Oh, okay.
It's just too much of a hassle.
Yeah.
Plus, I can get it for like $22 in between buying the supplies making it, sculpting it, sanding it, painting it, blah, blah, blah. I'd spend more.
Sure. And they probably have pretty good replica hands available. Okay. Yeah.
And but I'm going to try to sculpt them up a latex pullover that looks like Perlman.
Oh, okay. That, hey, man, that's cool.
So did Damon leave us? Where is he?
I don't know. You're out.
We're going to hear snoring soon.
No, I don't know if he'd, we would have already heard it if he was snoring. He's gonna be mad too. He's gonna be like, damn, I gotta edit this shit out.
That's right. But, honestly, the film is not that bad. It was a good popcorn flick. I enjoyed it. I didn't walk out of there going, oh, they were right. It totally sucked. I'm like, what the hell is people's issues?
Yeah, I mean, dude, the Rotten Tomatoes score is 14%.
Yeah. They introduced all new characters.
Yeah, I'd read they introduced the Were Jaguar dude.
Yeah, which is weird because I think in the comic he's actually a Wendigo.
No, I think he's the Jaguar.
Or maybe he becomes a Wendigo.
Oh, okay. You're probably farther along on the. I haven't read any of the recent stuff, and I've only touched on the BPRD comics.
Well, that's not really that recent. I think even that storyline's like 8 years old.
Because I think he is still he's still the Were Jaguar.
I mean, they just ended it. They're done.
Hell, BPRD. Oh, really?
Yeah. Really? It's all done. It's wrapped up. There's no more planet.
Really?
Yeah. He ended the entire universe.
Wow. I didn't know that.
Yep.
Okay.
Yeah, I believe it was 2 weeks ago the final issue came out.
Really?
Yep. So, like, now I have the entire library of the Hellboy collection. I'm actually looking at purchasing all the hardcovers of the BPRD, so I have all that now to add to my collection now that it's finally finished.
Okay. I didn't realize that I didn't even know the thing was ending.
Yep, he wrapped it all up in a nice little package, and it's a 15-issue miniseries that ends it all, and it literally ends it all, but in a good way, but also answers a lot of the questions that were brought up in the book, so that's cool.
Oh, okay. So now is it a Hellboy book or is it a BPRD book?
It is a BPRD book, I believe.
And Hellboy's in it?
Yes.
Oh. That's cool. And they do Lobster Johnson, don't they? In this new movie?
Yes, he makes an appearance. It's pretty funny.
Oh, okay.
Because they do the whole little, like, they pretty much redo what we saw in the original Hellboy movie of how Hellboy came to be, which was in the comics. So,
right.
It's going to look similar because they're doing what's in the comics, and that's kind of what happened in the comics. And in this version of when all that goes down, Lobster Johnson is with the service guys. And they do him like cheeseball 50s Captain America.
Like, kind of like Spider-Man Noir and Spider-Verse?
I haven't seen Spider-Verse yet.
Oh, no, no, no. Come on, man. That movie's great.
Well, my son watched it. I haven't seen it yet.
Oh, man, Carl, that movie's just kick-ass. I'd give that a 10 out of 10. I love that movie.
The pieces I saw were excellent.
Yeah, that's like a graphic novel come to life. That was really cool.
But I have to let you go. I have to get up in 5 hours, and now you're supposed to talk about Game of Thrones.
We are about to get into Game of Thrones.
He's back.
He's back.
Yeah, man. I was on mute.
Oh, okay.
Look, they heard enough of me over in game. So, you know, bow out gracefully. or some shit. Hey,
they're going to want to turn me off on some of the things I got to say about Thrones recently.
Ooh-wee, it's about to get spicy. Carl, man,
thanks for having me.
Thank you for your service, and now you're done.
You're at the end of the game.
The end game.
Thanks,
Carl.
All right, man.
Until we have some Jewish superheroes, I'll be back.
All right.
No doubt.
Nice.
Like, was that supposed to be, like, the real dope? Like, let me just say and drop out the call shit?
I think so.
All right, so check it out. Last week was what everybody thought was going to be called the Battle of Winterfell. The episode is actually named The Long Night. So it is season 8.
I like them, by the way, releasing the episode titles after.
You do like that?
I do like that.
I find that shit annoying as fuck. But, you know.
The Long Night's fitting for the thing.
Yeah, I mean, that's what was at stake here. And basically, they set you up with the idea that all of your bays and BFFs wasn't going to make it through this one.
They did.
Spoilers. Everybody lived.
Everybody lives, asterisk. Yeah, except Theon and Jorah.
Theon, Jorah, Lyanna Mormont, and...
Ed, Night's Watch Ed, and Beric.
Dolores Ed, and Beric Dondarrion.
The only
motherfuckers who die. And for the most part, all of them die saving better characters.
Yeah, that's pretty accurate. No, that's definitely accurate.
You know, Beric dies saving Arya.
Yeah.
Dolores Ed dies saving Samwell.
Yeah.
Jorah dies saving Dany.
Yeah.
Lyanna Mormont dies saving all of us.
Correct. And her death is the best one of the group.
Yeah, she got a great send-off.
Yes.
As the Lady Bear, the youngest... who goes the hardest, she got to take out a motherfucking zombie.
Although, when that thing picked her up, didn't you think he was going to bite her in half?
I did, too. I absolutely did. I was like, ooh, this isn't good. But that was great. So let's talk about a couple of technical aspects. It was too dark.
It was entirely too dark. I'm glad you started here.
I have to start here because it changes the way you watch a phenomenal episode of television.
It's frustratingly dark. And today, maybe it was today or yesterday, the cinematographer came out and started blaming everybody for watching it wrong.
Yeah, he caught pleas on it.
And man, I mean, that pissed me off even more. Like, because I'm like, I mean, this guy's a professional and he's telling us that we're the problem. No, my friend, you definitely somebody fucked something up. On a technical aspect.
I mean, the idea was you're supposed to be watching this with the light equivalent of candlelight being the only thing to light your way. So when you're looking at it that way, everything is pitch black. I get it.
I get it too.
Like, realistically, though, motherfuckers might be watching shit on their phone. Increase the bright, cuz.
Yep. Well, look, it, just like we were saying with Avengers, it's a comic book movie. This is a fantasy. Yep. I mean, who cares? Oh, well, you know, it was shot at night with very little light. Okay, it's a TV show about dragons and zombies.
Yeah, then I spent $15 a month paying for access to.
That's exactly right. So from that aspect, I'll be honest, I know that this episode's giving me a lot of praise, but I am happy to hear that people have been lobbing complaints at the darkness, because that really bothers me quite a bit. This is a company that has built this lore and this show and this hype for 10 years. And you mean to tell me that you can't brighten this shit up a little bit? I mean, there were times when I really, like, when the battle first started, I couldn't tell what the fuck was going on.
You're not alone. I think a lot of people couldn't, on top of the fact that they had really poor tactical decisions.
Well, correct. Yeah. Taking the technical aspect out of it, the show, the episode works tremendously. However, it does bring up some things you and I have discussed previously that I think Game of Thrones is going to have, I think the problems that George R. R. Martin is having with this story are starting to become more clear as the show is wrapping up.
Well, I think that goes without saying. The Double D's did not sign up to do this without cliff notes from Marshall.
No. I mean, we already know that. Martin told him the ending.
He told him, he's like, you get here however you want. But they did not sign up for that. They signed up for making a television show that already has a blueprint through the books.
Yeah.
They haven't had the luxury of that for the past 2.5 years.
Correct. And the spectacle is bigger. I mean, we over the past 2.5 years, we got the Battle of the Bastards. We got the loot train attack. Those are two of the best moments of the show.
Yep.
That being said, a lot of the shock factor and the what's the word for, you know, what we expect to happen doesn't happen.
Yeah.
It's subverting our expectations. It is not doing that anymore. And it's becoming more noticeable. I mean, think of it like this. So the show is probably going to end, and I don't know this for a fact. I'm guessing here. Because again, I'm expecting it to end one of these three ways. So hopefully they can shock me some way. I'm expecting it to end one of three ways. And I'm going with the someone gets the throne aspect. That's kind of what that's the path I'm leading towards. Jon, Daenerys, or Cersei. And they're the three main characters. They've been the three main characters for the past 2 years or the past two seasons. Tyrion has taken a big back seat, which is, I think, another issue. I think that's, they're hurting a little bit from that aspect.
Which I think could show up in a big way in King's Landing next week, though.
I absolutely agree. And I think that there's still a big possibility for that to happen.
And Varys, they'll show their worth when they get to King's Landing. If not, there's no reason to have them on the show anymore.
I agree, and it's, I hope they do, they pull something out of their ass. But it's, you know, I think everyone expects Jon to kind of be the one. I mean, it's his story, right? I mean, he's both a Targaryen and a Stark.
Yeah.
His root means
fire and ice.
Fire and ice. I mean, this is his story. His name's Aegon Targaryen. He's the rightful heir. He's the bastard of Winterfell. Fought the most uphill battle of anyone, I think, on the show, at least physically, but by far, I agree. But if he wins, isn't that kind of, you're kind of giving us the ending that we all expect? Yeah. And that's not necessarily what Game of Thrones has done.
Or is about.
So then you move to Daenerys, and it seems very easy for the most powerful character. And she's most powerful because she's got the dragons. Still has two dragons.
But see, she wasn't just powerful because she had the dragons. She was powerful because she had the Dothraki, whom in Essos, the green wave, in open field, would just swallow up any other armed force that they ran across.
Right.
Right?
And now, man, they got in this last episode.
They got wiped off.
Wow.
And it only took about 10 seconds.
Yeah, and the Unsullied mostly got caught in this episode. Yeah. So yeah, I mean, it was her armies, it was her dragons, it was her will. I mean, she's just the most powerful character on the show by far. And so from that aspect, it's like, if she wins, it's like, okay, that's another thing that I think a lot of people expect. Well, Daenerys is going to do it because she believes she's the rightful heir. Even with Jon's news, she still believes that she's got the claim to the throne because that's what she's wanted.
And that's the other thing. She wants it.
Yeah, she wants it.
Jon doesn't necessarily want this shit.
Correct.
He's never wanted any of this.
But he's a man of honor, and now that I think he knows that that's his destiny, I think that becomes his destiny.
Yeah.
In his mind. And that's fine. That's his character. His character stipulates that he will follow in what is his duty. His duty is now to be the king of the Seven Kingdoms.
Yes, Aegon Targaryen, first of his name, protector of the realm,
yep,
and all that good shit.
Right.
And, you know, we watched this battle take place that, number one, let me say this, the score was otherworldly good.
Oh, yeah.
The score to this episode is like nothing you'll ever hear on television.
It's cinematic.
It really is.
Yes.
And the different varying ways that they found to play the main theme, depending on which character is there, man, it is absolutely astounding.
It is.
Perfectly here.
It is. And they, outside of the cinematography, everything else about the episode is just what you'd expect from every other time we watch Game of Thrones. It's the effects are the best you'll ever see, better than a lot of movies. The score is phenomenal. The acting is top notch. They've got great writing and great characters in these episodes that are still alive. Some of it a little convenient, but again, we're talking about a fantasy here. And the more I can complain about it, the more I kind of step back and also think, okay, well, you know, Brienne's story is over, but if she's still alive, I'm not going to complain about it. She's one of my favorite characters. I don't want to see her die. So maybe it's good that she is still alive. I don't know. It's at the top of its game in terms of cinematic television. Unlike
the visuals are unmatched. The visuals are absolutely unmatched.
Yes.
You know, the trench, like the trench up, and you know what you saw through that when they were escaping and closing their ranks and behind them. That shit was fucking massive.
Absolutely. Well, the big sweeping shots of the army, and the Dothraki's swords that got lit up, that all got extinguished.
Yeah, the ox, and they went out immediately.
Yeah, and then, you know, the whole dragon fight, some of the shots in the moonlight with the dragons up in the air were outstanding.
If you could see them.
Yeah, well, yeah, if you see them, exactly. Ghost, seeing Ghost still, man. He's still alive. That's cool.
So I have to assume and hope that wasn't just for fan service, and that there's a precursor. You know, there's something later where Ghost shows up and becomes a big deal.
Well, the thing with Ghost, that I mean, there the complaint there is, I mean, I don't think we saw him last season at all.
At all.
And it's, so now he's suddenly there, and you go, wait, where he was right by John's side the whole time, and you mean to tell me John, who is the main character last year, Ghost wasn't anywhere to be seen ever? I mean, that's a little shocking. I get he wasn't going to take him to go see Daenerys. I get he wasn't going to take him north of the wall, but you're going to see him at some point.
Well, the first time we went to the wall.
Winterfell. Yeah, that is true. That is true.
When you go to the wall in the end of season one, Ghost is with him at the wall.
That's true. So, you know, Game of Thrones is at the top of its game there. And this episode, again, outside the cinematography, delivers on really great moments. The big moment of the episode is how the Night King goes down.
I think that's one of the big moments. I think one of the big moments before that is when Danny gets to say Dracarys, and nothing happens.
Well, yeah, man. Well, so I've been reading stuff on this, too. Why do we think that didn't hurt him?
It's weird, man, because, you know, there have been a couple of different theories.
The only person that cannot be affected by fire are Targaryens.
Correct.
He's a Targaryen.
Right. He could be. I mean, he could be. Who could it be? He can't be Benjen.
No.
You know, maybe he's Bran the Builder, you know, 2,000 years later.
Bran the Builder was the guy
who built the wall.
Yeah, but was Bran a Targaryen?
No, he's a Stark. You're right. Bran the Builder is a Stark.
I mean,
I don't know.
Yeah.
And I don't really like where it leaves us. It leaves us in a place where we don't really know.
Well, and so there's when the complaint comes.
I was going to get to that.
Well,
you've given us years of buildup, 8 seasons worth of buildup. We're going to get some answers behind this shit. We don't get no answers.
Nope, none. Nice and they still could give us answers.
Not about the Night's King. He did.
Well, and so this is what's frustrating about a scene like this. It was cool how he died.
Yeah.
Because that's a good subverting our expectation. We expected a sword fight with Jon Snow.
Yeah.
And I wanted to see that. But you get a good wrap-up to Arya there. Not a wrap-up, but you get a great an ending to your story. It's not an ending to her story. You get a great lead-in to her story. A great resolution to, hey, she's the one. She was given the dagger earlier in that season by Bran. Exactly. He knew where that was going. Melisandre told her that she was going to close blue eyes back in season two or whatever
said
it was.
You're going to climb brown eyes, green eyes, and blue eyes.
Right. And so I'm like, okay, they said they've been setting it up for a little while, and the showrunners have said, we knew for a while that that's what we were going to, you know, that Arya was going to be the one to kill him. Cool. Yep. I'm fine with that. That's a nice shock that I enjoyed. And Arya is, without a doubt, a fucking badass. Yep. So,
they've been training her specifically for this moment.
Exactly. So, and that scene's great from when you see her behind him, awesome. And then he grabs her by the throat. You're like, oh my God, he's going to kill Arya. And then she kills him with the drop that she did last season when she fought with Brienne. And I mean, they set it up beautifully. Great scene. Tremendous. However, I agree with you. When the Night King dies, now you're going, wait a minute. We didn't, who is he? Why was he trying to, take over everything? Why was he going after Bran? Why was he, there's a lot of questions that, I mean, we only have guesses to. Was he getting rid of Bran really to just extinguish the story of man?
He gets rid of Bran to have the long night.
Right.
You know, that Bran is the only one standing in between the Night's King and the Long Night. And clearly that didn't happen.
No. Well, and then that brings up the other question. What the fuck was Bran doing?
Nothing.
I mean, that's pretty frustrating, too.
I was a little bit frustrated by that because I'm like, okay, Bran's going to warg into something that's going to allow him to fight the Night's King.
Correct.
But instead, he just sat in a fucking chair and flew his ravens around.
Well, one of the things that's really, really frustrating about Bran so far, and we have three episodes that they can still try something, pull something out of their ass. They showed that Hodor scene for a reason.
Yep.
He can affect something in the past and have it. It's kind of like, you know, the time travel thing. Hodor has always been that way. So Bran was always going to lead down that path. Now, this time travel rules are a little different than Endgame, obviously. But Hodor was always going to turn out that way. That was something that was always going to happen, which means Bran can affect stuff that's always been that way in the past. Now, maybe the very last scene we see is something to that effect. I don't know. There's rumors that suggest that maybe the reason the Mad King was saying burn them all is because of Bran. I've heard rumors of that. I've heard rumors that he was the Night King, although that doesn't matter anymore.
It doesn't matter. It doesn't really make a lot of sense. But
it doesn't. But they showed that scene, that Hodor scene, for a reason, because it's the only scene of its kind. And so what does that mean? Is he going to affect something else? He better fucking do something else. He hasn't done anything for 2 years.
He really hasn't. You know, he sat out in the motherfucking courtyard and waited for two goddamn days for Jaime Lannister to show up, and then was just like, yeah, go fight, cool.
Right.
Get the fuck out of here.
Right. I mean, to me, the most interesting story from now on is, yes, okay, they're going to go fight Cersei, fine. You know what I find far more interesting is, what does Daenerys really think of Jon's lineage? I mean, that to me, if the two of them are against each other, that's more interesting to me than the two of them working together. I find that dynamic to be more, a more intriguing path to go down. She wants it. He is probably leaning towards that he has to take it because of who he is. What does he do if his aunt now wants to kill him?
Right. You know, I was thinking, you know, in a twist, which I don't think they'll do, that John ends up getting the throne and becomes crazy.
That has never crossed my mind until just now. The only thing I would question is what makes him crazy.
Well, we never know. Targaryens are genetically predisposed to craziness.
I mean, we can assume now they're kind of setting Daenerys up to go that route.
Well, she's shown moments where she has not particularly listened to reason, and it's come back to bite her. So,
right.
By killing Sam's family, there's an idea that there's still a lot of good seasoning for the young queen to undergo, so she can kind of get to a better position and understanding. You don't have to make these black and white decisions. As a queen, your job is to live in the gray. And, for people to understand that and be happy with it. I just don't know, though. You know what I mean? Like, it worries me.
Oh, I'm concerned with how, I mean, they have 3 episodes and they still got a lot of shit to answer.
Really, the only thing they have to answer is Iron Throne.
Well, but again, so the only person I didn't cover was Cersei. So if Cersei gets the throne, then why even do the show in the first place if Cersei's just going to be the one that ends up on the throne the whole damn time? Because essentially, she's been in control the whole show.
Yep. Whole show.
So that, does that mean that the entire events happen and there's nothing you... Ultimately, the theme becomes... There's nothing you can do to stop the, what's already written.
Winter is coming, my guy.
Yeah, but winter is coming, and winter's been fucking taken care of already.
I mean, as far as we know, but it may not.
What, they're still White Walkers?
I don't necessarily know if White Walkers, there could be something else entirely. Which would be shitty and a waste of time when you only have 3 episodes left and you clearly didn't address all the questions.
Yeah, you're not introducing anything new and evil.
At this point, Melisandre got to have her redemptive moment and nobody said shit. Meanwhile, Theo gets to go out and get a fucking hero's welcome, which I think is also full of shit.
This is what I'm saying. They're starting to go the typical story route.
Yeah.
And just to wrap up things, and that is what I don't like. I mean, keep in mind, this is the show that killed the main character in the first season. This is the show that still to this day has the most shocking thing any of us have ever seen in the Red Wall.
Yeah, true.
I mean, those events have defined the show. The Red Wedding is the reason why Game of Thrones is where it is now. It's where it started the giant trend of people reacting to shit online, and look what happened now. Everybody reacts to everything.
It's true, man. It is absolutely true. I've watched this episode 2 or 3 times now. It does not age well. The chinks in the armor show up much, much more the more you watch it.
Oh, well, sure.
There's a lot of, that shit don't even make sense. Why in the fuck would you do that? There are moments where they wanted to highlight particular characters, and Arya's kind of a moment of badassery is one of the highlights. As I heard other folks say, Samwise Tarly was tucking himself in with the bodies of the undead. Like, he simply was just not here for this shit at all.
Right.
It was a good episode, but I felt like it was really lacking. I really want to see some more motherfuckers die.
I liked episode 2 better.
Yeah, absolutely. It was a great setup episode. I say this, though. We lose sight because of so much tension building that the key is not Winterfell.
No, it's not.
Throne.
Yep.
So...
Well, I'll tell you what this episode reminded me of. It was last season, when they went north of the wall. I was disappointed with that episode too.
The one where they had the big fight.
Yes, on the lake. On the lake. Yes.
Where they created the ice dragon.
Yes. I was disappointed there. I liked the setup episode better before that. The setup of the Suicide Squad getting put together.
Yeah.
I liked that. Again, that's my personal preference, and that's what this episode reminded me of. It was another one that was kind of like, I guess I expected more, the setup episode setup. I honestly, the way I would have done it with 3 episodes left, I'd have wiped out damn near all the supporting characters.
Yeah, hell yeah.
I mean, I said I really love Brienne. Kill Brienne, kill Podrick, kill Tormund, kill Davos, kill Missandei, kill Grey Worm, kill...
So basically, you're doing the Avengers. Only the original six get shot. Everybody else is already dead.
Well, but there's certain characters that... You know, I didn't say the Hound. You can't kill the Hound yet. His story is not done.
I mean, the Clegane
Bowl... He's got to fight them out.
Yeah, the Clegane Bowl has to happen.
Correct. At this point, because you're giving us everything else we want to see, you better fucking give us that. So... You gotta get that. Tyrion's story's not done. Jaime's story's not done. Sansa's story's not done. Cause I think Sansa's gonna play a key in these next three episodes too. I thought Melisandre was gonna play a bigger part, but she came in and left in the same damn episode.
Melisandre did her part.
No, I understand she did her part, but it felt as if they just kind of shoehorned her in just to say, hey, by the way, she's still around. Oh, but we're gonna kill her.
Yeah, I mean, the Lord of Light is here in your darkest moment. That was the whole idea.
Well, I think we've learned through the show that the Lord of the Light is the Lord. I mean, like, right? I mean, that's the one that we've been experiencing the magic the most of. I mean, the Lord of the Light brought Beric Dondarrion back six times. It brought Jon back from the dead. It lit up all those swords. It lit up the, you know what I mean? I mean, that it's been working. It helped Daenerys keep Meereen.
That's absolutely, sorry, I was on mute, my bad. That's absolutely true. Some of these moments go really, really far back to when Dany was on Essos and she's learning to become a queen. She's learning to become a leader. She's learning to control the Dothraki and dragons, all that kind of shit. It's a really difficult kind of moment, man.
Yeah.
You know, particularly when you watch all of these, the Dothraki die immediately. Then you watch the Unsullied get mowed down by this wave of the undead. And you see the inner castle's defenses get breached, and you see these characters running for their lives. And it's a very interesting, fun kind of moment. But at the same time, Hound's still scared of fire. He bitch made.
Yep.
Beric and the Mormonts, they can rep my team any day. We all rep the same smart tech. Those motherfuckers... They went hard as shit this whole episode.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
So love me some Leona Mormont. You know, there's a couple moments where you're just kind of scratching your head, like, come on, dog. Like, why the dragon, the only place the dragon is safe is in the air. Why the fuck would you park him? Why would you park Drogon in the middle of a goddamn battle with the undead running everywhere?
That makes that's a nut. Yes, you're right.
Makes no sense.
Again, when you start thinking about it too much, that's when it starts coming apart at the seams. I mean, in all honesty, Daenerys and Jorah would have been swallowed up by the dead in seconds.
Seconds. Where the fuck?
The Dothraki got ate up in seconds, and the two, you mean to tell me the two of them, one of which doesn't even know how to use a sword, is surviving as much as they are?
Yep.
I don't think so. I'll buy Brienne and Jaime doing it.
Yeah, and because they're the dopest people in the entire fucking kingdom.
Right. That's what, and even Tormund. I buy Tormund staying alive. Fine. Okay. I buy Gendry to a degree staying alive. He's badass with his hammer. Cool. The Hound staying alive. Well, we saw the Hound story play out. I mean, Jon staying alive, obviously. It's Jon Snow. Although, to be fair, he would have been eaten up by all those dead too when he was running towards the Night King.
Well, so the Night King didn't really want them to eat him. He just wanted them to like go away. Like, you're not the prize today.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, he put those dead folks just kind of in his way. He didn't really want to kill them because he thought he was about to go get Bran and it was going to be over.
Right.
So, haha, joke's on you, bitch.
and that's the other thing. Like, the Night King is actually really, he's a good villain. And... To have him go out the way he did, I mean, it was great the way he did it for the hero, but in terms of the villain, the questions that are still there about him are frustrating that we don't have an answer.
There's so many questions, man.
There are so many questions,
and there's no satisfaction to his death the way it happened. It's satisfying from the perspective that Arya did something badass, but it is not particularly satisfying when you sit down and you think about, we've poured so much effort and time into the Night's King and we get none of that back.
Yeah, you're right. And it's, I don't know. I mean, I watched a, Emilia Clarke was on, I think she was on Kimmel the other day, and she made a comment that, the fifth episode, so not this coming episode, but next week, that's the big one. She said the fifth episode is even bigger than this Battle of Winterfell. And she just made the comment and then kind of backed up a little bit because I think she wasn't supposed to say that. But it was like they've been hiding,
which is cool,
fifth episode behind the third episode. I'm like, all right, that's cool. We've been looking forward to the Battle of Winterfell. But, hey, man, what about the Golden Company fighting the rest of the North? I mean, that's – we still got to see that.
Yeah, because, you know, your boy was Qyburn. He still has a couple of those dragon guns.
Yeah, yeah, he's got the dragon guns. You still got the mountain. Still, we haven't seen him do anything really for a while, yeah, ever.
Zombie Mountain don't need to do a whole bunch.
I mean, again, so he fights the Hound. I mean, yeah,
that's like Aim Bowl. That's it.
That's it.
You know, and to be fair, if Hound don't win, what the fuck is your purpose?
I mean, there's the other one. So it's a trap. If the Hound wins, then, well, that's why you brought him back from the dead. If he doesn't win, then why would you even bring him back in the first place?
Hound has to win this because the Mountain, he's Zombie Mountain. But
correct. Well, and I'm a strong believer that you don't kill a character and bring them back to life if you're not going to keep them, or you're not going to kill him again. You know what I mean? Like, the Hound, to me, he's going to survive through the end of the show, as so is Jon.
Yeah, I agree with that. I kind of feel John's probably going to live through the end of the show, too.
I mean, I assume that Daenerys is going to be the tragic death that we get.
Yeah, she's probably going to be the big one. But, the question is, which does, Viserion, is that the other dragon? Because Drogon is her dragon, whatever one John's been riding. Is that the last one left?
It could be. I mean, that would be, if Jon lives, then it makes sense that Rhaegar would live too.
So,
we keep expecting Tyrion or Jaime to kill Cersei. I mean, what if Tyrion has to step up and kill Daenerys?
That's what I was thinking. Or Jaime is the Kingslayer, the Queenslayer.
I assume Jaime's going to kill Cersei. Again, that's poetic and it's very, it's fitting, but we don't expect Tyrion to kill Daenerys.
Mm-hmm.
So, or maybe Tyrion, the first thing I thought was that Tyrion made a deal with Cersei last year to keep Cersei in power because she was pregnant. He made a big deal about Daenerys not being able to have kids. And if he knows Cersei can have kids, then the lineage can continue. And, they cut and they're all making a deal, even though Cersei lied to him. So now I don't think that's going to be the case because he was flabbergasted that Jaime showed up by himself too.
He genuinely believed that there was going to be some people with him.
Yes, exactly right. So I don't think that's going to happen anymore. So now I'm thinking if Tyrion hasn't done anything for shit. I mean, it's going on 3 years. He hasn't really done much.
Yeah, 2.5 seasons. He's been out of development. There hasn't been a whole lot for him to do.
Well, he's become, there used to be, six, seven main characters everybody else ran through. He has become a supporting character for Daenerys.
It's true. And that's his role right now, and that's okay. But the bigger issue with all this is that if you are going to be supporting, when you get your opportunity, you still have to step up.
Oh, absolutely.
And he hasn't done that. Daenerys is getting a little frustrated, but he's also out of his element. He was a dude that he made his way on knowing and understanding where things went, how people worked. He's a lot like Varys in that respect, where, Varys outside of King's Landing, where he doesn't have his little birdies, dude don't have a whole lot of influence. And he can't help you that much.
Yeah, no, that's right. Well, and I think Varys, yeah, you're right. He hasn't really done a lot either. He's kind of like Tyrion. They're both supporting characters to Daenerys.
When was it the Queen of Thorns? When she went down, and their whole family got blown up in a Sept. That was the last kind of thing for him, because that was one of the other power families that Varys kind of held on to. And now that they're dead,
right?
He was as helpless as the kids when he was in the crypt. You know, there was a moment where they found him, and he just had this look of, "This is it, dude. I can't do nothing else." All the eunuch jokes, they might have been assholery, but they're kind of true. I can't do a whole lot here. So, you know, the folks who were battling upstairs, again, they were tactically flawed, but they battled hard as fuck, man.
Yeah.
I think everybody called the fact that the Starks are the only family who don't burn their dead, and you're putting them in the crypt with all of these dead bodies.
Oh yeah, that was a theory people had right away too. It was like, and they kept mentioning it in the last episode. Like every time somebody would say, "Oh, you'll be safe in the crypt," you'll be safe in the crypt, you'll be safe. You're not safe in the crypt.
You're not safe in the crypt. You're never safe in the crypt.
This would have been a Game of Thrones way to do it: slaughter everybody that was in the crypt.
Well, I thought that was going to happen, but apparently the crypt is way bigger and there's way more space than I thought there was.
Right. I thought that was going to happen too, and that would have been a Red Wedding like event.
Yeah, it would have been great.
Like Arya kills the Night King, but they go down and find that everyone in the crypt is dead.
Right. Sansa, Tyrion, Varys.
Yes, man. That would have been just blindsided.
That would have been pretty cool.
That would have been awesome.
Yeah. This movie doesn't do off screen deaths. So, you know, we'll see it still. Whatever happens, the fallout from this, when you lose so many soldiers and know you still have to fight 20,000 Golden Company and everything else that King's Landing has waiting for you.
Right. I mean, so what do we think their forces are now? 10,000?
Not even. 4K.
Shit. So how the hell, even with dragons? Well, I guess
that's the thing. Everybody kind of believes that a dragon is an equalizer until the dragon gun, you know, shoots Drogon or Viserion out of the sky.
Right. Well, so far with this season, I'm sorry to say I'm kind of disappointed.
Yeah, I think a lot of people are. I don't think you're the only one who feels that way.
And it's, I hate to say that. I love this show, and I'm not hopeful that it's going to end pleasantly from a, you know, from the point of view, even how I want it to end. I don't want it to end how I want it to end.
I feel like at this point, we have to look at the story as a whole and not in a micro of this season.
That's true. You know what I mean? And ultimately we will. It's the knee-jerk reaction of, yes. damn, give me more.
Yep.
Because they're not giving us more. I mean, if episode 2 so far is the best episode of the season, that's disappointing.
I mean, 2 episodes of exposition, 1 episode of action.
Right.
Yeah, if that's a trend, we in trouble.
Correct. Absolutely correct. Well, we have exhausted, I think, everything we can about our topics this evening.
I agree, sir. This has been a very wide-ranging and very reaching show. We have been Get Out the Room. This has been a very, very big episode. I may have to cut this one in two.
Oh, yeah, you definitely – this is definitely a two-parter.
Yeah, I didn't do that for y'all. Appreciate y'all. Scott, man, thank you for your time, dude, and sharing all your passions. And, you know, and once again, we had a nice heated debate on
– That's good. Yeah, on comic books.
I love it. I love it.
I do, too. Hey, you know what? I mean, it's there's depth to these comic book shit that most people just talk about the big spectacle about Endgame. I think even having a debate on some of the depth that these movies and TV shows can provide is far more interesting.
Yeah, I also think that the spectacle for Endgame is...
Oh, well, the spectacle is outstanding. And
it's crazy. But I also think there's more substance there than The Long Night, which upon a couple extra viewings is all spectacle and not much storytelling at all. So, you know, take that however you want. Also 10 years in the making, by the way.
Yes. Well, I mean, we've seen Game of Thrones over the past, I want to say 10 years. I don't know if it's been 10 years. Oh shit. Sorry. I've just been flipping channels and I'm watching Ready Player One. It's a good horror moment, actually. Have you seen Ready Player One?
Yeah.
When they throw Chucky. He has a weapon. And the guy goes, "Oh my God, it's fucking Chucky."
Yeah.
That scene makes me laugh every fucking time. I love that scene.
Nobody expected it.
No, I laughed out. I think I was the only one that laughed out loud in the movie theater when I went and saw this. Anyway,
We digress.
Yeah. Sorry. That was a rabbit hole that only I get to go down. So, the spectacle of these things is what we get wrapped up in 2019. And that's fine. That's fine. You know, because the spectacle in Endgame worked. You know, the spectacle in Endgame or in Game of Thrones would have worked had it, you know, just been a little lighter on the screen. I think that would have.
Nobody could tell the dragons apart. The dragon fight.
No, you couldn't. They had to keep cutting to the rider. And
what is the fucking point of spending all that money and time to create, you know, these incredible scenes that nobody gets an opportunity to see?
Exactly. Well, and like I said today, when the cinematographer was coming out and started, you know, making excuses, I'm like, come on, man, like you're better than that. I mean, you've been making some of the best episodes of TV we've ever seen in our lives. You don't need to come out and start making excuses. Just take the L and move on. I mean,
taking L is hard though, particularly when you have been, you know, valued as the number one folks.
Yeah, no, you're absolutely right. And I understand that HBO probably made him say something. They had to say something.
Yeah. They got to do something. But I'm looking forward to two weeks from now. Hopefully there'll be more answers. And who knows? That may be when, you know, Cersei gets beheaded. We just kind of have to pick up the pieces from there. And the last episode simply is, how do we parcel up what we now have? Who's going to be king? Who's going to be queen? You know, who goes where? Does the North stay independent? Like, all of that. Like, those are the questions that we have left at this point.
Yeah.
So, you know, even after we figure out the throne, there's still a lot of, like, really tense moments that need to happen.
Yes, absolutely agree.
So, looking forward to it.
I mean, you know, we're getting three episodes that are each going to be damn near an hour and a half each.
Yep.
Just so, like this one. Yeah, exactly. So, I mean, it's really what we're really getting is we got three episodes left. We're really getting almost five episodes worth.
Exactly. And my guy, Davos Seaworth, was ready to kill that chick, even though she helped them live through the night.
Oh, man. How great would it have been had he killed her right when she walked through the gate?
Look, my man saw her and was like, oh, I'm about to kill her.
Yep.
She had to go. I thought that was awesome.
Oh, man, I did too. I loved it. Davos is awesome.
He is. He's a great character.
Yep.
You know, the way she did Baby Shireen, she got to pay for that shit. I'm kidding. But, yeah, man, let's get the fuck out of here. It has been a very long show. We appreciate y'all. Get out the room. You can find us anywhere. Go past that kind of found. For Scott, for Carl, I am your host, Dave. We'll catch y'all next time, man.
Peace. You're going to definitely have to make that, too.